verse 17, the Passion Translation. So I'm getting my time. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation to know Him through your deepening intimacy with Him. God wants us to be intimate with Him. He wants us to grow with Him, to grow stronger with Him. And I've discovered I can't do it on my own, but I need the church family as well. And that's why it's so important to come to church, because this is where we get encouraged. This is where we get built up. And this is where we grow stronger. But I also have to do something in my own life as well. You know, I have to pursue God. And my first point this morning is pursue. It means to run after, to follow. If I'm not pursuing, I'm going to be sitting back. I'm not going to be doing really anything. I remember as a young 19-year-old, not very experienced with girls, having a girlfriend for a couple of months till her ex-boyfriend turned back up on the scene. And I was in a pub, and I got introduced to a young 17-year-old at the time. Not very experienced. I said, do you want to go out tomorrow night? And she said, yes. I thought, wow, this is fantastic. Someone said yes to me. And this started a pursuit. And I remember the next day, here in Tripolation, I didn't get a phone number, we didn't have cell phones. I didn't have a phone number, but I had an address. And I think we agreed on a time, may have been 7 o'clock. And so I went and knocked on a door, and her father came out, yes. I just wanted to meet up with Angela. And he said, Angela, and she wasn't even ready. She didn't even think I was coming. So she had to, my wife is here this morning. She doesn't know I'm going to say this. But so she got ready, and where did we go? Oh, back to the pub. That's what we did in these days. It was bands in the pub. We weren't Christians at the time, so don't think we're staying anymore. Okay, so here started my pursuit. And Angela was always good. I would say, Angela, do you want to go out here? She'd say, oh, yes. And then I took it up to another level. She was working, I think, in the hospital kitchens in New Plymouth. This is in New Zealand. And she bought herself a bike, and she was having to bike home. And I remember thinking, oh, look, I've got a car. So I used to come, because she used to say it was so hard in the wind. So I used to be there waiting for when she finished. It may have been 6 at night or something. And I'd get open the boot and put the bike in the boot, and then I'd take her home. I was pursuing. You know, the amazing thing with Angela was that she didn't really ring me much. Sometimes I thought, is she ever going to ring me? I might have waited a couple of days and no phone calls. But I rang and said, well, do you want to go somewhere? Yes, so she was always there, and it's like God. God is there. He's always there. And He's waiting for us to pursue Him, to go after Him. So it was a long journey, but we've stood the test of time, and we're still together after all these years. But it wasn't, I had to pursue her. I don't think if I'd done that, we'd still be together now. Or we'd even got together, really. So I had to break off some fears. I had to break off some insecurities around my life and things people have even said to me to be able to do that. But I was swept up for her, so It didn't take too long to carry on. In Hebrews 11 verse 6 in the New King James Version, it says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." The Passion Translation says, "For those who passionately seek him." We're passionately seeking God. We just need to know him more. We're going to turn now to Genesis chapter 5. And this, one of the faith heroes, he actually made the faith chapter in Hebrews verse 11. But this is Enoch, and I remember Enoch from my Bible school days because I think one of the exercises we had to do was share for 5 or 10 minutes on someone from the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, that had their name written into that chapter. And I know a lot of people were doing like Noah and Abraham and, you know, ones that you could find a lot of information about. But I chose Enoch at the time because I just wanted to be different and see if I could find something. And plus I heard Lester Sumrall talk about him, and I still resonated in me from a few years previous to that. And that's going back a bit now because he's gone on long to the Lord now. So in chapter 5 and in verse 22 says, "After he begot Methuselah," which is a different, another story, "Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." This is a marvelous story. And I've thought about it. I thought, how did Enoch walk with God? I looked before Enoch, and no one else was walking with God. It hadn't even been, we go through the list of genealogies after Adam, and there isn't anyone else saying that, you know, there's no other, anyone else there saying that they're walking with God. But Enoch walked with God. And I pondered it. Why did he walk with God? He would have had to pursue God to walk with God. How did he know about God? Maybe he heard that his great-great-great-great-grandfather once walked with God in the Garden of Eden. Maybe he heard that and thought, well, no one's talking about this God now. I wonder if this was really true. My great-great-grandfather walked with God. Is this true? And I could imagine, and I'm ad-libbing and just dreaming as I talk here now, but he could be out there planting his field, and one day he said, "God, can I walk with you? I've heard that you used to walk with my grandfather, let's call him his grandfather." And then I can imagine God saying, "I'm here, Enoch. I'll walk with you. I'll walk with you." How long did it say he walked with God? 300 years. 300 years he was walking with God. Were anyone else at the same time walking with God? I don't really believe we were. It doesn't actually say. But Enoch was pursuing God. Enoch was chasing after God. And for those 300 years he walked with God. I can imagine the people in the villages and that. Where's Enoch? Oh, he's out there talking to himself. Out there in the fields. Talking to himself, talking to his God. And then one day, God took him. The first rapture. God took him home. because he had this testimony that he pleased God. It must have been a shock to all the people around when they, where's Enoch? Couldn't find him. He didn't die. He went on to be with the Lord. He pleased God, and that was his testimony. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a God pleaser. I want to please God. And very much of pleasing God is pursuing God. Because God wants to have a relationship. It's not about doing all the things. It's about coming and sitting with Him and leaning on Him and allowing Him to speak to you. Just as our vision for the church for this year is, you know, as we wait upon God, we grow stronger. We mount on those wings of eagles and we soar. But there's a waiting. And sometimes we don't want to wait. Sometimes we want everything instantaneously when we want it now. But it doesn't work like that with God. God requires us to come, pursue Him, and look for Him, and wait on Him. My next point is, we need to have a hunger, and we need to have a desire for Him. We need to be hungry for God. David, a man after God's own heart, in Psalms 27, verse 4. We just put that up. One thing I've desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And verse 8 says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will see. David was a man after God's own heart. He was hungry for God. You have to develop an appetite for more of God. We have to develop that. It's not hard to develop an appetite for chocolate or steak or whatever food you like. It's, you know, you smell something someday and think, oh, your appetite's aroused. I've got to have that now because I smell that now. It's got to be the same for God. When we come into a meeting, you don't want to come in with, I'll just come in, you know, if I lift my hands or do it, if I don't. You know, I've got to press in. I've got to stir that hunger. God, I'm coming this morning. I want to meet with you. God, just touch me this morning. I don't want to leave the same way I was when I came in here. I want to be changed because I want to carry something out of you out into this world. As a young Christian, I didn't initially start off being hungry for God. Both Andrew and I got saved at the same time in February in 1986 it was. So I've been around the traps a little while now. But we're still going. But I was very much what you'd probably term a carnal Christian. I carried my Bible to church, but still lived like I had been previous to that. Until one day, I had an encounter with God. Now, I was doing some religious type stuff. I was praying and doing stuff like that, and I was reading my Bible. But it was out of a motivation, perhaps more for God to be doing something that we needed to happen in our lives, more than actually trying to find Him. But this one day, I was in the shower of all places, and I lifted my hands and I just started worshipping God. No other motive, nothing else. And the power of God just started to, I'd never experienced anything like it before. But I had electricity just start to flow down through my hands, down through my arms, and down through my whole body. And it lasted for maybe 5 minutes. And I thought, oh, you're real. Not that I didn't know that he wasn't real, but it just to me it was, God, you're real. You're real. And that started a hunger within me for more. Because it was something that I'd never experienced anywhere else in my short life at that stage. There was just something that I just thought, God, I've got to have more. I've got to have more of you. And so over the next few years, I had more encounters. But I also found myself, God had to do some things in my life as well. Because I was hungering more for the anointing and for having something like that on my life and to be recognized, and more than hungering for God, having intimacy with God. Now, it wasn't really that wrong. I was desiring all the spiritual gifts and everything else, but I also got into a religious fervor as well, that I felt that I needed to be praying in the Spirit for 2 hours or 3 hours, you know, because I wanted to do all these things, or fasting, or doing these things. But it was all out of, I would have liked to have said that it was coming from the right motivations in my heart, and deep down they were probably right, because I was wanting more of God. But I was a little twisted, and I think as Christians we need to be balanced. We need to be balanced, and really, I was just speaking to Steve before, everything, and I'm probably just going to show my next point, getting ahead of myself, but everything will come out of intimacy with him anyway. The more that we spend time with him, the more we grow closer to him, and the more of him that then that permeates in our lives. And I'm not saying don't stop, keep praying, because it's part of stirring our spirits up and building our spirit man. We still do those things. But it should always come from the aspect of, I'm seeking you. I'm seeking you. It's not about me either. And that's what I had to deal with. I thought a lot of times it was about me. Was I being recognized? Or if people see something, if I could just get more anointed, then I'd be recognized. If I could just do this, then someone might say, come here, or do this. And pride's a killer, and I had a lot of pride. And God had to deal with it. So keep the hunger, keep your desire for him, to meet with him, to sit at his feet. I just love Psalm 23. Where it says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, and I just picture him with his arm around me. He takes me beside the still waters and into those green pastures. And I just can imagine just sitting back, just resting on him in those green pastures. And just feeling his arm around me, his strength. And even when I face those problems, he's there with me. It says that his rod and staff, they comfort me. We better move along. Point number 3, commitment and choices. And I just want to read the story. But in Luke chapter 10, before I read it, this statement I wrote, I must choose to build with God. I must choose to build with him. know, God doesn't form casual relationships. It's not like I can come 1 week and then not come for another 4 or 5 and then come back to church. No, God wants us to be committed to Him. Committed to Him. In Luke 10, verse 38, and we all know the story. It's probably a lot of people have talked about it over the years, and I've heard lots of sermons about it. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet. Just see that also? So Martha had been sitting at Jesus' feet also. She was sitting at Jesus' feet also. And they heard his word. In verse 40, Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but the one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. So Mary was focused on God. Martha was focused on herself. You know, serving without intimacy always results in resentment. You know, you can be in church and you can be doing lots of things. You can be serving, you can be an usher, or you can be in the children's church. You can be doing, and you might be doing multiple roles. And you think, well, look at all my service. But if you don't have the intimacy with God, if that's not born out of intimacy, you'll start to resent those around you. Oh, they don't seem to be doing what I'm doing. I seem to be doing so much more than anyone else is doing. What, they're in a prayer meeting? Gosh, don't they realize we've got chairs to put out there, we've got this, they're in there in a prayer meeting. Serving should always come out of intimacy, our love for God. You know, if you're part of the church family, you love God, because that's, you know, love God, love each other, and love our community, part of the vision of the house. But as love coming out of my heart, then the service will come as well. So in conclusion, if the worship team will come up, what do I need to do? That's a good question. I've given you 3. Pursuing God, having a hunger, desire, commitment, choices. What do I need to do? And here's 5 quick things that will help you. The first thing you need to do is get rid of distractions. If you go and meet with God, don't take your phone. I know, even though I've taken it because, oh, it's got a Bible app on it. If I'm just looking at that Bible app, that's fine, but somehow Facebook might pop up or an email. I just got to look at that. So the first thing you need to do is get rid of distractions. You want to give Paul your whole heart to him. Next thing you should do is just praise him until a spirit of worship comes on you. Get a praise song out of it and just turn it up, or put some headphones on and crank it up. Let that flow through you, and then you'll suddenly start to get into worship, and the presence of God will come. Another thing to do is activate your spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit, use that gift. Pray in tongues. It says in Jude that praying the Spirit builds me up in my most holy faith. I think it's due to that might not be quite the word, but yeah, building myself up. Tongues is a powerful weapon. When the anointing is on you in the Spirit, it's amazing how far God can take you. My fourth thing would be to meditate on His Word. It's a Word that transforms us. There's no way you can get away from out without reading His Bible. The Word of God has the power to change. It changes us. The more that we struggle in an area, find some scriptures on that area. Just meditate on those things. That Word will change you. I've seen it over the years in so many, not in my life, but in so many people's lives. And the fifth thing is that we just need to be still and wait. Be still and wait. Be still and wait. And sometimes it may mean forsaking some television one night. It may mean putting or rearranging your schedule. One thing I've done this year that perhaps I've sort of started other years, and I've had a notebook and I've been journaling a little bit, but it might miss days. But this year I've got a diary, so every day I have to write something down, because otherwise I'm going to have a blank page in my diary. And so I'm learning to press into God some more. Sometimes it might be a prophetic word that I write down. It might be I've just been reading something in a devotional, and that might be something I write down. It might be just something I've seen in the scripture, and I'll paraphrase it into my words and write that down. But I can look back, and I've already started to look back at some of the things that I've written down. I thought, wow, it's amazing what God can do. So just to encourage you. I really sensed in the worship this morning there is a hunger here. The presence of God was quite very strong. That comes through people coming with a hunger in their hearts and more. I don't think we can ever be satisfied as Christians with what we have, because I know for myself, I'm not doing the miracles that Jesus was doing. Jesus said that we'd do the great works. So I know that He has so much more for my life, but I also know that He has so much more for your life. I just want to read this psalm to you. I'll put it up on the screen, but I need to read it out of my Bible. This is the Passion Translation. Must have been about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I found, I always knew Psalm 84 was there. But I just want to read this out to you in the Passion Translation. But it's something I encourage you just to meditate on, because it's so, so good. It's 12 verses and then we'll close. Find so much beauty in your people. They are like lovely sanctuaries in your presence. Deep within me are these lovesick longings, desires and daydreams of living in union with you. When I'm near you, my heart, my soul will sing and worship with joyful songs in you, my true source and spring of life. O Lord of heaven's armies, my King and my God, even the sparrows and swallows are welcome to build a nest among your altars, for the birds to raise their young. What pleasure fills those who live every day in your temple and join you as they worship in your presence, pause in His presence. How How rich to those who find their strength in the Lord. Within their hearts are highways of holiness. For even when the path winds through the dark valley of tears, they dig deep to find a pleasant pool where others find only pain. He gives them a brook of blessing, filled with the rain of an outpouring. They grow stronger and stronger with every step forward. Then the God of all gods appears before them in Zion. Hear my cry, O God of heaven's armies, O God of Jacob. Listen to my loving prayer. Pause in his presence. God, your wraparound presence is our defense. In your kindness, look upon the faces of your anointed ones. For just one day of intimacy with you is like a thousand days of joy rolled into one. I'd rather stand at the threshold in the front of the gate beautiful, ready to go in and worship my God, than to live my life without you in the most beautiful places of the wicked. Palace of the wicked. For the Lord God is brighter than the brilliance of the sunrise, wrapping himself around me like a shield. He is so generous with his gifts of grace and glory. Those who walk along his paths with integrity will never lack one thing, for he provides it all. My Lord of heaven's armies, what glory fills those who forever trust in you. So,
church, we are going to open up the altar for people to come forward for prayer, Pastor Steve.